Now.
Welcome. For your listening pleasure, we invite ears of all shapes, colors, and sizes to experience the Audio Files Podcast.
Oh yeah, we back. Not so hard. But it's your boy Ant. We back in the building. All four of us. We're missing D, of course. But, you know, I swear to God, I think some baby mama has him trapped in a dungeon somewhere, like tickling his nipples with a feather. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. What up, everybody? It's your boy Ant. As always, I'm here with my boys. We back. We back. Yeah, man. Bebo, say what's up, doc.
Man, I go by Bebo. And if you guys can't hear that, there's currently a strike going outside of the Audio Files headquarters. They're demanding they want Anthony back. The baby mamas want Anthony back, and they're not going to leave until they get him.
Hey, real shit. They've been fucking hitting me up hard, dude. I'm like trying to pass up on this shit, dude. I got like some fucking nudes, some fucking demands, high demands. Like, God, like my car got keyed the other week. Like,
I was like, so like our babies need shoes, Anthony.
Yeah, like what the fuck? Christmas is coming up. I'm like, shit, it's gonna give you a dick in boxing. it was a good intervention. Got yelled at, screamed at for 4 hours, but you know, we'll see. Like, I even had a listener who was like, I thought you were the baby mama slayer. It's like, I was. That was the old me.
It's like Anchorman where he's outside a bar with a milk mustache.
Yeah, exactly. It's you, that guy. It's like, yeah, some girl just waving her coochie at me. Like, Like, no, not no more. Can't. I'm in love. Speaking of love, man, we got a fucking great pick, by the way, by the bread boy in the building, who's had his fucking wrists covered with alien anus for the past 2 weeks. What is up, my boy?
Donnie
T. No, it's good. Yeah.
I'm just free little mayo, man. Yeah.
I know. That's what got arrested, dude. They fucking police brutality.
Hey, release that boy, man. He innocent. Whatever he did.
Man,
but
yeah.
I'm good to be here, you guys. I miss you.
Hell yeah. And we got the Stallion still in the building. He's out the stable today. What's up, big dog?
What's up, y'all? It's Addison. Before we start, I just want to read this quick poem for y'all, if you don't mind. They say love's a journey with twists and turns. Perhaps it's time for Ant to mend those burns. With humor and love, he'll pave the way. For baby mama's hearts, he'll still sway. Let's cheer for Ant on this quest to heal the past and be the best. Baby mama drama, so they claim. But Ant's got charm, my man's got game. You know, finger snaps for
fucking bars. Holy
shit.
That
was one of the poems at the intervention that you mentioned.
I know.
So, you know, it was over. It was sold out crowd again. Like I said, we sold out, you know, Toyota Arena. They actually, you know, they had the live streaming over in, you know, everywhere. So thank you all for coming out.
Yeah, that's
we
shit.
Might have to do another one, y'all. Just be, you know. Check your emails. You might have another one just in case.
Low key, that shit made me want to hit up the 99 cent store. Like, just start looking for bitches. Like, you know. Like,
he's almost there. He's almost there.
He might reconvert me. We'll see.
Take it back to middle school.
Take it back to that middle school. That Anthony. fucking macking in broad daylight. in front of God and everybody. Speaking of macking and getting down, man, we have we were brought this week by the bread boy with freaking electric dusk by Mr. Leon Thomas, man. And man, bread boy, what brought you to bring this to the group? What brought you to review this week?
You know, just it kind of showed up on my I've had some songs by Leon Thomas, you know, like in my like playlist, and it just showed, you know, like, so shout out to Spotify for being like, hey, we got a new album.
Good job, algorithm.
You know, yeah, if Apple Music wants to sponsor us, that's cool too, you know, welcome that. But yeah, no, it's definitely just kind of came out of nowhere to choose it. I don't know, I guess we could talk a little bit about it. Leon Thomas, this guy, okay, I liked him from Victorious, you know, that show. Yeah, it's him.
Damn.
I knew he was gonna be fire, like when he first, I was like, man, this guy's got talent. And then same thing with Ariana Grande. I was like, yo, like, what's up with like these like really good artists on this show? And you know, he's a producer, songwriter, singer, actor. This guy was on Broadway by the age of 10 for Lion King. He was the voice of Simba, I believe. He's also in The Backyardigans. He's Nick. He's Tyrone. I know it seems a little racist, but you know, it is what it is. You know, I got to work with that. And this guy is talented, man. Like I said, from when I first heard him, like in the shows, I was like, this guy has a really great voice. He has like a good mix of like just what it means like to have soul in R&B.
Yeah.
There's times like where it sounds like a little bit of like Little Caesar, a little bit of Donald Glover when he was singing his stuff. You know, like the man's got vocals. The man can produce. The man can do it all. He's kind of like another like Jamie Foxx in my opinion. But yeah, this guy has been anything like been producing for like Drake, been writing with Drake, been writing with Ariana Grande. Anyone you can think of, this guy pretty much has like credits on everything.
Basically anybody who's been on TV, like he's been fucking with him. Like,
yeah, pretty much, man. So honestly, yeah, I was kind of excited to know that he like this is his first debut album, I believe. He did have like a Genesis, I believe that was in like 2018 when it released. That one was pretty good. And in my opinion, I think this was like a really great album for just his debut. So I'm really excited to hear what you guys have to say, whether it's good or bad. I enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. I mean, I didn't have no expectations for this one. I mean, I thought it was kind of be some kind of like electric shit to tell you the truth until I saw the R&B and Soul label on it. But I think... this is one of those albums where it reminds me of why we listen to music and like why like good artists are so great. Like I think every artist's job is to convert a legion of followers. Like you gotta like somehow make me want to follow your shit. And I believe he did that exactly on this project, man. It's a nice fusion of like, you know, funk, soul, and just like the whole canned atmosphere. I know Bebo likes to attribute fucking movies to albums and shit, and this one was kind of like Space Odyssey, like 2001, dude, because it's just like it's weird. It had like this filter on it, like this grainy filter that made it feel kind of old, but at the same time it gave us a glimpse of the future. And so like that's how I would describe it. It's weird because like there was moments where I'm like, this sounds like some, it could have been like some 90s shit like made today. Like, I feel that's basically what a lot of the album was. He surprised me, man. There's a few jams on there. I'm pretty sure we'll get into it, like some of our favorite songs. Overall, I like the arc of the album. I mean, like, it kind of, for me, it was just a little, it didn't catch along until like the middle, but, and then it kind of cooled off at the end, but kind of like, our boy Ye Ali, I think that was planned, dog. I think that was like, you know, I think you're supposed to last a good, 20 minutes and then just chill out and cool out and, vibe with your lady, you know what I mean? So, good job, man. Can't wait to see what you guys think. Bebo, we'll go with you next, sir.
Yeah, so I had no idea who Leon Thomas was either up until last year. I mean, if you follow the podcast, you would know that one of my favorite artists is Ty Dolla $ign, and they came out with a single, Love Jones, last summer. Mm-hmm. That's been on repeat for me pretty much all year. And I've been following the singles he's been releasing here and there. And I decided to do a little research on this album myself. And, you know, like Bread Boy said, this guy has a lot of production credits, and because of his connection to Victorious, I never saw the show, but I know because of the show, he has, I think he produced like half of Ariana Grande's debut album, which apparently is, you know, like a big album or something like that. Yeah. And I think he's signed to Motown. And then when he linked up with Ty Dolla $ign, Ty Dolla $ign was making his own record label called Easy Money Records. And I think Leon Thomas is the first signee for that record label. And this was released on it. And on an interview, I heard him say that this was inspired by a drive-in theater in L.A. that's been around since the 60s, which we kind of hear on some of the end of the tracks. Some just random dude talking about kind of sounds like a drive-in theater movie voice, I guess, if you want to say. And I also, in the interview, heard him say he has a 2-album deal, and this was like the first one, and he's currently working on the second one already. And you can clearly hear the influences of like Frank Ocean and The Weeknd on this, and the aesthetic, like Anthony was saying, matches the album cover. It's very psychedelic with R&B, hip hop, and he attributes the album to be kind of a journey through what you would discover in a romantic relationship, like the ups and downs. And I think he has a lot of raw talent, man. He has a lot of raw talent. I think when it's a little more refined, I mean, he could be the next big thing in R&B. I did like, you know, his experiments with the messing with the vocal effects of pitching the voice up and down, kind of like we've seen The Weeknd and Frank Ocean do. What else? Let me think if I'm missing anything else. But yeah, man, I thoroughly enjoyed this one. Was it perfect? No, but this probably has to be up there with one of my favorite projects of the year so far. It had that X factor where I just keep wanting to come back and visit it because of the melodies, the songs, and all that. So those are my initial thoughts.
Hell yeah. All right, Addison, what about you, man? What were you thinking when you were listening to this one?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with his work. I know, like, Oscar mentioned him a couple times on the pod. I did stumble upon the song Breaking Point, which I really did enjoy. And so I was kind of excited to hear the sound of this album. I was kind of hard because I wasn't sure what to expect. And I definitely didn't expect the kind of the sound, like you said, the pitching up and down and the overall vibe of the album. I messed with it, though. For some reason, I just felt like he was singing in like sepia filter, you know, every time I was listening to it, I feel like I should have been like wearing some like filtered glasses. But overall, it was pretty cool. I agree with Bebo. It wasn't like a perfect album, but it definitely was something like that I'm looking forward to hearing more from him. So yeah, overall, I thought it was pretty good.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Well, we are the Audiophiles, and if you're not familiar, get familiar. What we like to do here is each week one of our members selects an album, maybe a couple EPs for us to listen to. We check it out throughout the week, and we come back and give you our initial thoughts, which is what we just did there. Favorite beats, favorite instrumentations, favorite songs, least favorite show songs, any notable mentions, bars or concepts that stood out to us. We give you a check me out to where we refer to other music by the same artist featured tonight. And then we also give it a rating, maybe some news. And I believe tonight we may have a movie shelf. We'll see, check that out later. But for now, gentlemen, favorite beats off this track, man. This groovy, smooth, R&B, sexy project had plenty of instrumentals that I was digging. What about you, Bebo? What were you feeling?
I liked Slow Down. It had this drum roll, the keyboard. The beat was a little hollow, but it was dark, and it set the tone for the rest of the album. It had that psychedelic quality to it that I really enjoyed. X-Rated had a simple boom bap beat. I really liked the riff that was on loop for that track. And then Crash and Burn, is it just me, or did it feel like Just Blaze produced that one kind of?
Yeah, Just Blaze tried his hand at a Kelly beat. I was like, fuck yeah. All right.
It was like that one. Totally stole from Just Blaze, but I mean, I digged it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Bread Boy, man, what were your favorite beats?
Aside from the ones that people mentioned, I really enjoyed Breaking Point. I feel like it was just a classic, like kind of what's in right now. I did like Treasure in the Hills. I like the piano that would just play in the background. I feel like that this album, I think just even from the like cover of it, you guys describing, for me, it was kind of like a surrealism, kind of escapism.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what a lot of the artists like Frank Ocean and Weeknd tend to have, especially with like the amount of drugs that they do and just like how they want to get away from things. So I can definitely see that in there. So I really liked how the piano in that song in Treasure in the Hills at the end, it kind of like, it was kind of like surreal, but it would kind of bring you back to something else. So I like that. Really like, let's see. I like Breaking Point because it gave me kind of like Daniel Caesar vibes. I think probably one of the, I can't remember which album, but I really enjoyed it. I think just based off that, those are the ones that stood out for me.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go with Sneak, man. I just fucked with that beat and it kind of went along with like the concept of the song. It's just really sneaky, real sexy. X-Rated, man. That one, just same thing, like that Weekend-ish type of shit. Love Jones, man, just a typical slow R&B jam. Fucking I guarantee you fucking Ty Dolla $ign produced that one. And My Will, man, I love the double kicks on that one and the tune snare that just they gave that unique sound. What about you, Stallion? What were you feeling on this one?
Yeah, I liked the Blue Hundreds beat. I thought it was kind of like funky. I really enjoyed that one. as you mentioned, Love Jones. I really like that beat. And another one you mentioned, Sneak. And exactly what you said, it felt like he was sneaking around. Like the right, beat really was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like I want to sneak on you.
Sneak on these hoes. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sneak your hoes.
Sneak up on the dog. All right, we're gonna go ahead and go into favorite songs. Brett, we'll start off with you again since it's your pick this week. Favorite songs, man.
All of them, man. No, I'm just kidding. If I had to choose like a good, was it 12 songs? Damn, I liked Slow Down and I liked Breaking Point. I only like those two. I like the way it starts, I like the way it ends. I feel like for me it was a journey. Like it starts off with an escapism, and I feel like Breaking Point was kind of like that, you know, legit just breaking point, like kind of like a breakthrough from everything.
Yeah.
And if I had to choose like one more song, oh man, that's, I'll probably do a Fade to Black.
Hmm.
That one, yeah, that one kind of stuck in on there for me.
Hell yeah. Bebo, man, your favorite songs on this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Slow Down again as an intro track. Again, it matched the psychedelic cover, and it talked about something that I think we've all been through, where we experienced meeting a girl who's just doing the most, and you're trying to keep up with all the partying with her because you're infatuated, and sometimes you're like, oh man, this bitch I think is a little too crazy, you know?
Yeah. but I like the ride, yeah.
Exactly.
Where
exactly.
The fuck are we going tonight? This is awesome.
You brought what?
Oh, you're that type of girl. Okay. Well, I don't do that, so you can go in the restroom with your homegirls.
exactly.
But that's cool, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Second, I got Love Jones. I've been bumping this one, like I said, since last summer. It just hasn't gotten old to me, and I think they make a great pair, Leon and Ty Dolla $ign. Wish we would have gotten some more tracks with the both of them, but I guess that'll do for now. And then the last one, Socialite. Again, another track where I like the concept about a girl who's making serious paper, but it doesn't seem like she works. So it's like, how are you getting all this money from
OnlyFans?
The melody is the beat. I just like the track as a whole. And then honorable mentions to X-Rated, Breaking Point, and like Bread Boy said, Fade to Black.
Fuck yeah. I'm gonna go ahead with Breaking Point too, man. That was the one. I think it's odd because I feel like it wasn't the focal point of like the intended focal point of the project, you know, because like it is that like surreal escapism, LA nightlife type of shit. That's like kind of like the theme of it. But I feel like it's in the middle of the album. Like it's the heart of that. It's his heart. And so I fuck with that song. My Will, man, I like the beat. I like the concept of it. Like just kind of like I thought it was like Human Will, you know, but it's like his funeral will. So I thought that was kind of a cool flip. Crash and Burn, just because of the vibes, man. Cali smoking weed on the 405, like you're not a real Californian if you haven't done that, so amen, brother. And then Love Jones, and then honorable mention again to Socialite for the same reasons Bebo said. What about you, Addison? Favorite songs off this one? Favorite joints?
Damn, I feel like I'm just reiterating everything you guys just said, but as mentioned, Breaking Point was the first song I heard that really got me intrigued with the guy, so I have on there, as y'all mentioned, Love Jones. I fucking love Ty Dolla $ign, so of course I actually wanted more of them on that track, but you know, like what people said, I'll take what I can. And yeah, put Socialite here too. At first this track was like, I don't know, but then the chorus is kind of just infectious.
Yeah,
just kind of sing it, and there's a bar on there that I'm like, okay, I agree with you totally, like yeah.
Yes. Mad relatable. So yeah, man, I think that's the beauty of this project. Like Bebo said, and Hernan said, like, or Bread Boy said,
whoa.
Don't tell the aliens. Like,
hey, who's that?
Like, who's that? That's my cousin. No, like, it's like, but like they said, man, it's not a perfect project, but I think you can find a little bit, of something to like for everybody. There's definitely like something there for multiple tastes. And that's what I also kind of appreciate about the project. Gentlemen, do we want to go into least favorite tracks?
I did have a couple things I wanted to bring up for this segment. First of all, how'd you guys feel about Benny the Butcher's feature?
Oh, that's what we can talk about that. Yeah. That was going to be on my producer's chair.
Okay.
I'm like, dude, because I'm like, at first I was like, that was, I didn't know it was Benny the Butcher until I fucking saw the name on it, like, after I heard the song, because I was like, oh, that's fucking whack. He got some lame-ass underground guy that I didn't know about, because, like, his voice was kind of, like, canned, so it didn't sound quite exactly like him, but I should have known with, like, the slowed-down, like, chopped-up beat, and, like, it's just like there's some parts where it like had little glimpses, but I was just like, dude, how much did you pay for this verse? Like fuck, dude, I would ask him for another one. Like, you know, I'm just like,
that's how I felt. I felt like the feature felt so out of place on the album. It just, I don't know, man. I liked the X-rated track, but anytime honestly, this feature came on, I found myself skipping it.
Yeah, they could have like honestly just cut it out and get a refrain and maybe a bridge for, and then, like I said, sing the hook again. And because he was doing good by himself, like if these walls could talk, fuck yeah, say all that nasty shit, dude. Yeah. But like I feel like at the same time, it's just like it was set up for Benny to fucking kill it, and he normally does. That's the weird fucking thing. Like it was simple. Like, you know, I'm taking your bitch. She's cool. Like I'm the fucking G. You know, I'm like. But just like shit he was saying was just like whack. It's like, it doesn't sound like you're the G, bro. Like you sounds like you sound like somebody like I know in high school that lied and said, yeah, I got mad bitches. Like, you know, like it just, that's just how it sounded. So I was just like, I wasn't fucking with it. I was very disappointed.
Same. And also I felt the same way about the Breaking Point remix. I don't think whoever that girl was kind of brought anything.
No, she didn't add
to
anything
to the track. Yeah, exactly.
I guess it was supposed to be kind of like a cinematic, like, oh, now it's coming to an end, the female's perspective, but like exactly. that didn't even come through, though. All right.
So those were my, like, you know, constructive criticisms for the project. I don't know if they had any, Hernan or Addy had anything else, or Bread Boy, my bad.
Who?
Mike Jones.
I don't need to calm down.
I think that will suffice for like the least favorite tracks. We'll go ahead and move on to notable mentions, man. I liked on fucking on Will, just like where it was like we said, where you fucked with the vocals on that, like that kind of hook, like that shit was dope. I liked on the Will too, where he said like no cat fights at my funeral, and I was like, what? Wait a minute, what? Like, I want bitches fighting at my funeral. Like, no, I fucked him first. No, I met him in Chico and we were fucking and smoking. Like that type of shit. But I was like, no, I want the opposite. Like, let's see.
When he says, if you think you're the only one, there's another you. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, bars.
Fucking bar, dude.
Fucking.
I was kind of.
Go for it.
I was concerned on, sorry, man. I
go for it, go for it.
But on Crash and Burn, I was like, I get it, but I was like, man, I gotta check up on this guy. Like, I'm feeling a little too suicidal. He's like, I wanna just feel something on the next to the 405, so I'm gonna be driving around the 405. You guys see me down there, you know.
hey,
making sure this guy's good, you know.
Well, hey, when he said the Cali too crowded, I think I should move. I was like, I felt that shit, dude. Like, facts, bro. Like, that shit hit. Like, it is getting too crowded in this bitch. Like,
I liked on that same track, he says, ironic how you the bad vibes and you sage, huh?
Yeah, that shit was dope. Like, ah, I got her. Take that.
Burn.
Burn. Let's see, on Breaking Point, where he told, they said love, they told me love was fragile, they told me that love was breakable, I thought I could handle it, but that was debatable. Like, oh shit, dude, bars.
That was dope. And the little run he goes on at the end of Fade to Black was dope, where the beat starts to speed up, and then, you know, he kind of matches the beat, and he says, even if you hoeing, girl, you my hoe. I had to hit my side bitch with a side note.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, definitely a lot of notables. Shit. Anything else on Socialite? Just like he wants something real, something he can feel. Like, I mean, those are typical like rhymes, but like just like in that text and that concept, I was fucking with it.
He tells her, I'm trying to eat, but you can't cook the meal.
Yeah. I'm trying to eat, but you can't cook. Yeah, I remember laughing at that. Yeah, that's all I got. Alrighty, gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and just step into the producer's chair. What would you do to improve the album? If it's got to be released by Friday, what would you do to improve it? Maybe some final touches, cut the fat. What would you do? We'll go with Bread Boy first since it's his pick.
I would do Benny the Butcher on every song, bro.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it would kind of, I was listening, like, that one kind of caught me off guard. And then it kind of makes sense, like maybe why he chose him, but I feel like it didn't fit it. And he, you know, because he's, like, a big rap guy. And he's like, you know, if you could play Wu-Tang, that would be beautiful. I'm like, okay, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't fit the vibe on this one, man. So I agree. I think I said myself, like, I'd get to that part where Benny, and I skip it, and I'm like, ah, not feeling it.
And I hate it because I fucking love that song, dude. Like, up until that point, yeah. It was, like, great, you know? And it's just like, oh, shit, he fucked this up. Like, you know, and it's Benny the Butcher, too. It's like, ah. The bridge is coming, like
the barber's coming.
The barber coming. All those memes, man. But yeah, just disappointment on that one. I'd make him start over, do another verse. I mean, it could have been done. It could have, but like I said, I think maybe just extending out like another refrain bridge, that would have sufficed. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think like me and Addy were saying, I liked Ty Dolla $ign so much on Love Jones. Why not put him on another track, you know, for a feature? I'd for sure take out the Benny the Butcher feature. I think they were trying to go for like that Miguel J. Cole combo, you know, that R&B hip hop that's yeah. been successful for them. And it just didn't hit the mark. I would have, you know, speaking of Miguel, he kind of lives in that psychedelic R&B with a little bit of rock in there. I would have loved to have seen a feature with Miguel. That would have been dope if they could have made that happen.
That would have made sense.
And just exchanged like vocals or something like that.
I wrote that in my notes. I was like, very Miguel kind of slash Usher vibe sometimes.
Right. That would have been dope. To
Anderson Paak.
Oh,
him too. That's another good one.
Oh man. Let's see. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It would have all gelled. All right, gentlemen, that's going to take us to, the Check Me Out segment. And do we have anything else from this guy? Like I said, I'm not familiar, so this is news to me.
You guys ever seen the movie August Rush?
No. Never.
Nah. I would suggest you watch it. It's pretty good. It's kind of like a musical. Not a musical, but it's about like a kid who's like really, I think he's like homeless. But it turns out he's like super talented with like picking up instruments. Like he doesn't know anything about it. He's like a musical genius. He comes out, I think he's like about like 8 years old, and man, like you can even just tell right there, like this guy got like talent, cause he does like a solo with the singing, and it's just like a short clip, so just like look up, you know, Leon Thomas on August Rush. It's pretty good. Check it out. Check out Genesis. That shit is fire. And then I think he has like a interview where he does like a couple of, freestyle of like old R&B songs, I think.
Oh shit.
And covers. Yeah, so just check it out. I figured out what it is. Just look it up on YouTube.
Is his name Tyrone in August Rush?
No, I think his name is Arthur.
Arthur.
Which is ironic.
And he wears glasses, red glasses.
Yeah.
I had something for the Check Me Out. There's a YouTube show called The Terrell Show. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but like the host is fabulous. He's a big old queen, and he's hilarious, super charismatic. But Leon Thomas was on the show, and they play like different games. They'll do like the host will give the guest like a word, and they have like 11 seconds to sing a song with the word in it. And so it was pretty cool to watch Leon Thomas on the show. So I'll add that to the Check Me Out.
Hell yeah. All right, it is judgment time, gentlemen. What are you going to give this thing for a rating? Bread Boy, we'll go first since it's your pick this week. What do you got, sir?
I enjoyed this album. I think I'll give this one a 4.7.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All righty. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't without its flaws. It wasn't exactly perfect. I feel like just kind of like the organization of the album. Could have been a little bit different. Like I said, I felt like a lot of the meat was in the middle. Oh, somebody's sending off fireworks in my neighborhood. But like I said, it was really well done. Transported me somewhere cool, which I was digging. And I'm going to give it a 4.4. What about you, Biba? What you going to give it?
Yeah, same. I really enjoyed this one. I think what spiked the rating for me is just that X factor of being able to come back to it despite its flaws. I'm also going to give it a B+, a 4.4.
Right on. Addison, man, what are you going to give it, sir?
Yeah, I guess I just echo everything you guys just mentioned. Yeah, that's it. 4.3 for me.
Right on.
All right, so I'm calculating that bad boy. Let's see. What do we got? If we can get a drum roll, we have a... What do we have? 89%.
Right on. That's I think that's about fair. It's not quite an A, but but it's pretty damn good. Like, you know, yeah, just, I mean, maybe we cut out that fucking Benny feature. He makes it all the way to A, like, you know, but who knows, man. Not too bad, man. Not too bad for my first listen. Like I said, I think he did his job and converted me, and I definitely want to hear the next project. You know what I mean? Alrighty. So today, I believe we do have a movie shelf for our audience. Bebo, you want to take it away, sir?
Yeah, we're going to do things slightly different. I know we usually call it a movie shelf, but this time, boys, we're going to the movies. We're going to call it movie tickets since it's still in the theaters. So let's go ahead and take these edibles and drink this drink in the car before we head in.
Get a bunch of pizza. Yeah, and say exactly. Cowabunga all day.
Exactly. So being a 90s baby, I was a huge fan of the cartoon, which I believe came from the comic books, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's been so many iterations of that comic book, and Seth Rogen, who's, you know, one of my favorites, decided to take on the project with his longtime writer Evan Goldberg and a couple of other different writers. But point being that Seth Rogen produced it, co-produced it, and co-wrote it, and the voice cast is super stacked with people like Maya Rudolph, John Cena, Seth Rogen even does a voice. We got Jackie Chan, Paul Rudd, Post Malone, so just a ton of people. And if you're not familiar with the story, of course, it's about, it takes place in New York where some...
It's a story about fatherhood.
Exactly. And ninjas. And a radioactive ooze contacts a rat and four turtles, and they obviously mutate, and they fight crime at night. Of course, with a Seth Rogen twist, you know, obviously there's comedy, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that an animated movie that really changed the landscape for just animated movies in general and won an Academy Award was the 2018 Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Reason I mention that is because, like, sports film is a copycat industry. When something works really well, others take to it. And this one, I did notice there was a bunch of things they borrowed from that Spider-Man movie, from the animation to some of the soundtrack, I guess, or sound effects they used. But regardless, it's still a really, really solid movie. The people that stole the show for me were Jackie Chan, who did the voice of Master Splinter.
Fuck,
he was,
yeah,
really good. You know, legend in his own right, and West Coast rapper legend in his own right. Ice Cube does the voice of the villain in this one, which I believe they made just for the movie. It's not one that's original to the franchise. A character named Superfly, and Ice Cube did his motherfucking thing, man. I think he really stole the show. He had a great voice for it. And it's a great story, and I know Addison went to go see the movie as well. Anything you care to chime in and your, just share your thoughts on the movie? It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The animation from that definitely echoes off of the Spider-Verse, but I feel like it did its thing. I think the main takeaway I took from this is that it's like it still manages to be nostalgic but also new. And the main thing that I really enjoyed was that it, you know, it's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I feel like in the other iterations from it, you don't really get teenager vibe from the Ninja Turtles, and this is like, these are kids, like the actors that played the, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they aren't really famous as much as, I guess, the cast around them, but I really enjoyed their energy and their vibe. I think I saw an interview where they actually said that they actually had all four of them in a room, and they just kind of let them be teenagers, and you can kind of see that from the dialogue that they come off with. I found it hilarious. I think it's good for, again, nostalgic for the adults. When I went, there's a bunch of, you know, of course, parents bringing their kids. So, you know, as older, we enjoy it because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but then the kids get to enjoy it and as well get a, like a kind of a refreshing take off of it. So, you know, I have little to complain about it. Musically, the music on that, on the soundtrack overall is, it's pretty damn good. I think Seth Rogen probably had a, you know, some nostalgic on those. So,
for sure.
I mean, yeah, overall, I think it's definitely something to check out. And, you know, I guarantee they're going to make more. So I'm, you know, I'm excited to see what else they kind of come up with.
Hell yeah. And that's going to do it for us on this special edition of Movie Shelf, Movie Ticket.
Hell yeah. Good shit, guys. All right, that's gonna do it for us here at the Audio Files. Last thing we like to do, we like to share our songs of the week. That's any songs that we've just been vibing to, anything we just want to share with the group, have you guys check it out because we think they're dope. Man, people are actually we'll go with Bread Boy. Bread Boy, you go first, sir.
Damn, dude. Let me find it. Come back to me.
All right. Bebo, man, you're usually ready with the songs of the week. What do you got, man?
Yeah, I got two. I got one from this artist who does soul-dies called Lee Fields, a track called Sentimental Fool. And then I'm going with the track off of this album we just did, Leon Thomas Socialite, just because it's catchy as fuck. And we spoke about why we liked it, about this girl who's most likely doing OnlyFans. You know what I'm saying? We all know that one girl who's just balling but doesn't really work. So
that Roxanne trope just still fucking works today, dude. You know, God bless the police. I'm gonna go with Russ, man. He has a song called off his new project Santiago, Fraud, man. He has a bar in there is like, he's like, I want to ask for help but I don't want to feel like a bitch, and like I felt that. And so so I'm gonna go with that for this week. Addison, what you got for us, sir?
Yeah, I got a couple tracks from a group that I remember me and Bebo listened to a long time ago. The Drums, they're coming out with their album next month. They have a song called Obvious that I really enjoy. And then coming off, I guess, from Teenage Mutant Turtles, one of the songs they have on there is No Diggity by Blackstreet, and I thought that scene in general was just, you know, pretty damn good. But that track, yeah. I was like, oh, shit. I came.
Hell yeah. Bread Boy, you got anything for us?
Yeah, I got it. My bad, man. Sorry about that. First song, French Toast, West Side Gun, and George Ooh. Rice and Wale. Ooh. And then there's a song called, just like an interlude call. It's with Saba and it's like Aaron Allen King. Definitely check it out. It's pretty good.
Hell yeah. All right. And do we know who's got the pick for next week? I don't think we've discussed that.
I think it's my pick.
Hell yeah. Oh, he's ready. He's ready.
Yeah. I didn't know what to choose, man. I was going to go with a female pick. I'm not going to, just because we did Leon Thomas, and I feel like if I would have chosen it, it's just very similar. I was going to choose SZA's album because we never got to it, and I want to do a female. But considering it's Labor Day weekend next weekend, I'm going to take it easy on us. I'm going to go the 2 EP route, and both these EPs equal like 25 minutes, so it should be easy for us. I'm going to go with the EP that's, I think, leftovers from their album, Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia. I still want to get to the album eventually, but the EP is called Scaring the Hoes DLC Pack. And then the other EP is another collab EP with the rock group Turnstile and production group Bad Bad Not Good called New Heart Designs EP. So those will be what we'll be reviewing next week. And again, it's a short listen, 25 minutes total. So yeah, it should be easy. Oh, yes. Easy peasy.
So you fuckers better show up. No, it's okay.
Exactly.
All right, man. That's going to do it for us here on the Audio Files. Baby mamas again, I'm sorry. Stop sending me your underwear in the mail. I'm not going to respond to it. I'm like... We'll see.
Even if it's used?
Yeah, even if it's used. I mean,
it has to be used.
It has to be used. That's the standard. That's at minimum.
Keep shooting out the fireworks, people.
Yeah.
We'll get to them.
Get out the house.
We want ant. We want ant.
Go home. That's not me anymore.
It's just me outside.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Setting up fireworks.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we'll catch you guys later here on the Audio Files. Check us out on our Instagram at Audio Files. We'll catch you guys later. Peace.
I'll stop sending my underwear.